What is happening? Welcome to the SP Fab Forecast, your weekly PL Pro exclusive podcast. Ryan, Nick Pollock talk about the fab options for your 12 teamers and 15 teamers this Sunday, as well as also in the description, a link to the sit start for all Monday through Sunday for next week, and my ranks of two start pitchers. If you are listening to this episode, this is the single free episode that is on the main pitcher list fantasy baseball feed. If you are interested in hearing this podcast every single week, you have to sign up for PL Pro, and then you will get a special link where you can listen to this feed weekly. This is the only week it will be free for everyone. If you have any questions about it, well, you can hit me up on Twitter or, of course, during my playback stream in the morning. For all of you who already have PL Pro, thank you all so much for supporting what we do. All right, let's get to it. So in 12 teamers, and keep in mind, I do this based on $350 OCs on NFBC, and that has about over 230 different leagues. So I have the rostership underneath 35% for OCs. And then I also will be looking at main event teams, that is 15 teamers in NFBC for those weekly leagues. It's a little bit different for your standard 12 teamers daily. However, this is a good showcase of who should generally be available and who we should be going for. I also do not give specific dollar amounts. You should be just listening to Vlad Sedler, who's incredible as the Fab Whisperer there. Instead, what I do is I go through high, mid, low, or a weekly stream for each pitcher. We also do have our Fab Insights article on Sundays, and also Kevin Hastings and Adam Howe with On the Wire on Saturday evenings too. So all of that is there to help you make those exact dollar decisions. And if there's any updates between now and Saturday night, Adam Howe sends me a text message and asks, hey, this has changed. How do you feel about this now? Okay, so looking at 12 teamers, Spencer Turnbull, 34%. He will get the White Sox this week. This is a low to me. I think a lot of people are going to break the bank on Spencer Turnbull. I don't think he actually has a very sustainable approach with just cutters and sweepers that he's going to be a big impact long term here. But it is the White Sox, so I understand the short term going for that. Ranger Suarez, same idea. It's rocky road this week. I love that stream. It's a weekly stream focus, but not one that I'm going to be holding on to for a while. Kenta Maeda is a complete coin flip at 30% rostered against the Rangers. I'm not really a fan of it. I don't feel like he's getting into a groove. Gavin Stone is down at 29%, and I do actually think that this is a solid, at the very least, 1 week, but possibly longer, as Gavin Stone, it's good. He has a change at the works, four-seamer that is at 95.5. He had that weird start against the Cubs that might be part of it, but I feel like that was maybe that was this time last week and then swapped over. I'm trying to remember when that was. Regardless, Gavin Stone, I think, should be in that rotation for a decent amount of time. There is actually some pushback that I should have. Now that I think about it, Walker Buehler could be returning next week. And that could be just the moment of, like, hold on a second, we don't really need Gavin Stone in this situation. So I would say as a weekly stream, this is a good option, but maybe actually long-term, not necessarily. Now, if you're looking for someone who I think will last longer than this week on your fantasy team, so I think is a real breakout candidate, well, Mackenzie Gore is going, and he's going on Saturday against the Athletics. I think that's going to dictate where the Fab dollars go. I imagine he's going to have a fantastic game, and I am so in for this. However, it is Houston next week. It's not really the most fun thing, but you'll probably see 97 mile per hour fastballs. You're probably going to see him locate that upstairs and lots of dominance here. And I'm a believer for the year. If Mackenzie Gore does showcase that against the Athletics, you're probably going to have a mid bid on him, even with it being just a one start against the Astros. Seth Lugo is at 27% and gets a two step against the White Sox and the Orioles. That's a mid as well, because Seth Lugo's a Toby and should be rostered in 12 teamers. This is solid as well for the two-step just this week. Even against Baltimore there, I feel like it's worth your time. Luis Severino, I'm not really that much into. Against the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's okay as a weekly stream, but I just think his arsenal's not that great. James Paxton, much better. And honestly, can just be rostered in a 12-teamer consistently against the Mets at 27% rostered. So I would say it's a mid to low. John Gray has a two-step. It's against the Tigers and Atlanta. I would not really be targeting this. I think it's way too risky against Atlanta. You have Dean Kramer against the Royals. It's okay as a single stream, but not really something I need. Reynaldo Lopez against the Astros and the Rangers. Not a fun two-step. However, long-term, Reynaldo Lopez, yes. Especially now with the Strider injury. They are not going to slow down Reynaldo Lopez. So I would actually say this is a mid because he's my favorite one I've said so far for the long-term. You have Tyler Wells against the Twins. That's fine as a weak stream. You have AJ Puck against the Giants and the Cubs. I'm just not interested. I really think that I'm off the Puck train. Paul Blackburn, if you want against the Cardinals, fine. I don't think that that's a long-term thing. So if you want as a weak stream, okay. But no, it's just been good matchups for him. Louis Varland against the Orioles and the Detroit Tigers. That is a decent two-step. I'm very worried, I should say, about that Baltimore start. At least it's in Baltimore. However, the start against the Tigers should be good. There is some concern that Varland would get ousted if he's just not that good against the Orioles. I hope that's not the case. We haven't seen Varland really take off yet, and I know I've certainly been a vocal supporter of Varland in the preseason. I think by the end of the preseason, I was a little more tepid because we just really hadn't seen him put it all together yet. And his locations of his four-seam are ideal. He has the tools. He just really hasn't done it yet. And I see it as a long-term thing, saying, cool, over time he will figure that out. But he hasn't. And they might not let him do that. So it's not a must. If you're considering it for a two-step, I think it's okay just because this could click and actually turn into something real. And that at least has a little bit more of a ceiling to it. Dane Dunning against Detroit, that's great. That's a really good weekly stream option. I prefer that more than Blackburn. I prefer that more than Kramer. I prefer that more than Tyler Wells. Paxton probably more, but Detroit is just so bad. Luis Seal's only 20% roster. I can't believe it. Like, truly, 20% roster is just mind-blowing to me. I'm all for this. He's going to not be 4.1 innings, guys. He's going to get wins and be better, have better efficiency with a changeup in the slider. So I'm all for that against the Rays. I would do a mid there. Tyler Anderson at Cincinnati. It's a nice run that he's on. Do not buy into this. Martin Perez is a two-step, and I guess you're going to go for it because it's at the Mets, and also it's not in Fenway, which is very nice. It's in PNC Park. So I'm a fan of that two-step. He's in a good groove. It's a Vargas rule at the moment. It could very well be done this week. But in the meantime, all right, we just keep rolling with it. Kyle Gibson is something you just don't want to go with. Deal Hall at St. Louis. I'm kind of out on Hall for the short term. Keep an eye on him for future weeks, though. But I wouldn't be starting him in a weekly for that at St. Louis. Clark Schmidt at Toronto. Not really very good about that. He can be someone to consider, but not really. Casey Mize, I think, is going to break out of the questionable performances in his first two starts. I think he's kind of too good. The slider has not quite been there. His four-seamer, I think, is the shape of it and everything is still there. Safer, actually, he did lower his IVB in his last start, but I think that does return. And it gets the Rangers and Twins, which is not ideal, I understand. However, I think he just gets better with every start. So I'm on the Mize train here, especially with a two-step and also for upside for more. I'm a fan. Same thing with Reese Olson. I know he just got destroyed and he was looking terrible there, and it's so unfortunate it's the Rangers. Again, I'm going to say that it is more of a one-start fluke as opposed to just now everything's gone. Edward Cabrera could be returning next week. And if that's the case, him and Braxton Garrett both, Edward Cabrera gets the Giants and the Cubs. It's traditionally a still ill for the first one. It's unfortunate these aren't reversed because you really wouldn't want the Cubs one. But you could also say that, hey, maybe it's an easier two-step to have for Edward Cabrera. The very least, what we saw in the spring was fewer walks as more fastball control, and that's a huge deal for Edward Cabrera. So I'm kind of excited about him returning. I think that could be a very interesting chase right now as guys just kind of avoid him because he's on the IL and you didn't really want that early in the season. Javier Saad against the Marlins, whatever. I know that he's had some good starts and he's always had a low ERA and whatnot. But I just think that Javier Saad is a Toby at best. It's not really something I feel like I need to go for. And also the Cubs could be focused more on Tyone and Ben Brown and even Cade Horton. And Saw might be the one out there. Griffin Canning gets the Rays. It's okay. Griffin Canning's throwing softer. And that's not really he's not really showing the upside that we really want. We have Jose Quintana against the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's 11% rostered. I should mention here, I'm not going through the entire sit start. I'm just going through all the guys who are lower rostered, and I'm going to really do standouts for... it's going to be smaller, of course, for your 15 teamers. The 12 teamers kind of go through everybody. But this is me thinking about 12 teamer, and then, of course, I'll address the 15 teamer shortly. But there are more guys, of course, available in your 12 teamers. So, and no ads, of course, on these podcasts. Of course not. This is thank you all so much for supporting us with PL Pro, and this is the free one. If you're listening to us for the Pitchless Fantasy Baseball feed, then yeah, you're not seeing an ad here because that's what we do on this one, because we don't do that for those who support this podcast. Okay, Jose Quintana against Pittsburgh. He honestly is commanding well enough right now, so I think he's in a good enough groove that can be good. That's a single stream that I'm okay with. It's not my favorite, but it's fine. It's the tier below James Paxton there. Andrew Heaney at Detroit, honestly, that could be fine. Anything at Detroit is fine. So if you're looking for a start, that might work. Miles Michaelis against the Brewers, not really for me. Alec Marsh against Baltimore, no thank you. Graham Ashcraft against the Angels, maybe. Graham Ashcraft's kind of interesting because he is going, he's doing better with his slider, but he's doing terrible things with his sinker, and he's not using it correctly, and it's really annoying to me. I don't really think that's going to get fixed. Spencer Arrighetti technically has as Atlanta and at what the Nationals. I don't know if he's going to get the Nationals one because Verlander is going to take Arrighetti's spot. And Framber it's taken by Ronel Blancos, essentially. So I don't really think that's going to stick around. Now, you definitely don't want that Atlanta start. Nick Martinez at Seattle. It's okay. He hasn't really come to form with his changeup. At least it's at Seattle as opposed to in Cincinnati. Jordan Wicks at Arizona. I honestly think that Jordan Wicks is going to be a fab focus for this weekend because he has a start against Seattle, and I think that you're going to see the four-seamer come alive. If that four-seamer is dominating once again and getting whiffs, then I feel like this is a new man, and we should be really considering Jordan Wicks a little bit differently, away from that debatable Toby to maybe being a Holly, who is someone who can go a 20 to 25% strikeout rate and keep ratios down. I don't love that start against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but if Jordan Wicks does do well, and definitely read my roundup to see if I do like Wicks, I would be going for him in this single start as kind of a low focus, but like there could be a lot of things I'm very interested in there. So keep an eye on Jordan Wicks there. Eric Fede gets two starts, the Royals and the Phillies. I think the Royals are too exciting right now, and the Phillies are a good offense as well. I don't love that. JP Sears just had a good start against the Rangers. Now it's the Cardinals, but you really never know what you're going to get with JP Sears. It's not the worst coin flip, but JP Sears did a weird thing where his four seamers were not the focus. It was sliders in the zone, those sweepers, which he normally doesn't do. It's weird. Chris Paddock gets at Baltimore, and we're not ready for Chris Paddock. Steven Matz at Oakland. That's a nice stream, honestly. Steven Matz is certainly capable at six innings, and he's a Toby getting a fantastic matchup. That's someone you should be circling if you're dying for a weekly start next week. At Oakland, Michael Soroka at Phillies, no thank you. Patrick Sandoval, the Rays, and at Cincinnati, I don't like this one. I mean, maybe it does work against the Rays. I just think that Sandoval doesn't excel with both his changeup and slider enough. He is throwing harder, like a tick, but it's still so hittable, right? The sinker and the four-seamer are just not good enough. And at Cincinnati, so terrifying. Alan Winans, I guess, sent down. It might be Darius Vine, someone else replacing Spencer Strider's spot. I thought it was going to be Bryce Elder. It's not, apparently. AJ Smith-Shawver seems like he's further away. Someone mentioned Hurston Waldrep. I see him more as a reliever. Like, this is not a command guy personally for me. I know I don't feel like you should be stashing him. Also, you can't do that for NFBC until they make their first start. But yeah, Alan Wine is no thanks. Trevor Rogers against the Giants. Honestly, Trevor Rogers against the Giants, that's a mid-priority because I think that Trevor Rogers gets better with every start. And this is a good one against the Giants. That's a very good matchup. So I would be considering this one if I'm trying to find a start for the week and something that could be more, and you don't want to really touch on any of the two steps. This is an interesting one. JP France against Atlanta, no thank you. You have Joe Boyle, no thanks, at Cleveland. Colin Ray, no thanks, at St. Louis. Ben Brown, oh man, that's an interesting one. Yeah, take a spec ad here. That's a low priority. It's at Arizona. I don't really love it. I'm not the biggest believer in Ben Brown because he doesn't get a ton of four-seamer whiffs. It's not the best fastball shape. And he's not really a command specialist. Like, everything I've seen from him before was more, was worse control than that one game we just saw as an official start. And the curveball can be good, but it also can be bounced. It just feels like a volatile two-pitch pitcher that is more made for relief, a relief position. And I could see him not doing well this weekend and also at Arizona, and it just fizzles out as Ben Brown the starter. So, yeah, I don't love it. Wade Miley against the Padres, and this isn't the matchup you want to go chase him, but he will be decent at times. Kyle Hendricks, I'm sorry, even though it's at Arizona and Miami for a two-step, I'm just not interested. Same with Ross Stripling and Adrian Hauser. Adrian Hauser, it's a little more interesting because it is Pittsburgh in there, and there is always a chance that Hauser could just like throw enough sinkers and force him to find gloves, but no thanks. While Ross Stripling's trying to do the anti-fastball approach, maybe that's good enough for the Cardinals and Guardians, but no, I don't really want to aggressively go after that. Jameson Taillon might be returning next week against the Marlins, and I'm a big fan of that, especially for your deeper leagues. I think that Jameson Taillon can be a 5-6 inning guy consistently for a good defense, and everything I've understood about Taillon through the offseason, he was looking much better and improving his slider approach and going away from the fastballs dictating everything, and just the guy is doing all the right things, and I just felt so bad for him that he pulled out his back. I feel like this might be the week that you can get in on Taillon before he actually costs something, more so the following week after this good start against the Marlins. Tommy Henry against the Cubs, I'm not a fan of that. Ryan Feltner at Philadelphia, you know, if Feltner pitched for a different team, we might be a little bit more interesting. But because he pitched for Colorado, you just can't do it. And yeah, we can't. Oh man, Ryan Nelson at San Francisco, only 2% rostered. I think we're going to see a better Ryan Nelson against the Cardinals. If we don't see that 88, 89 mile per hour cutter, and if we don't see him sitting comfortably at or above, really above 95, then fine, don't really target this. But if those things are there, if those skills are there for Ryan Nelson, I mean, at San Francisco is a fantastic start, so I'd be in on that. A Keaton win against Miami, not really. Emerson Hancock at Coors, no thanks. Marco Gonzalez against Boston, I know he's had some decent runs here, but no, this is absolutely about to fade. I would not be going for this, even though it's not in Fenway. Alex Wood at Cleveland, no thanks. Trevor Williams against the Astros, no thank you. Cal Quantrill at Philly and Seattle, you know, you don't want that. Patrick Corbin, you don't want that. Cole Irvin, even against the Twins and Royals, there is an outside win chance for that stuff, but I don't think that he's pitching at a good enough level. And the Royals are very scary, so no thanks. Jose Soriano is a very interesting two-step because I think what we saw in the skills from Soriano after a very strange first inning are actually is a good enough sinker with a solid curveball. And Soriano's kind of interesting against the Rays there. Cincinnati is obviously scary, but there might be actually something here for Soriano. So if you're looking for like a desperate two start, Jose Soriano is the guy I would actually consider here. Joe Ross also a little bit. He had a really good command with his slider and sinker. I mean, he really pulled off a Brady Singer as he did this against the Padres. And now he's going to get the Padres and Cardinals. It is better than Patrick Corbin is what I'll say. Or Cal Quantrill, or even Cole Irvin is Joe Ross there. Is he won six innings in that game? I would say that's over Adrian Hauser and Ross Stripling and Kyle Hendricks. And even Patrick Sandoval. Jose Soriano is above all of that, too. So keep that in mind. Above Eric Fede? I don't know. It's very close there. Austin Gomber, no. Jake Irvin, no. Chris Flexen, no. Carlos Carrasco, no. Dakota Hudson, no. Matt Waldron, no. Bowden Francis, unfortunately, no. I think he's going to, if he does actually start on Saturday, and you guys might be listening to this and know already, but if he is starting on Saturday, Bowden Francis, I hope he does really well against Rocky Road, but this is at San Diego Padres. I don't really think it's worthwhile, and also there's a lot of talk of him getting ousted, so I wouldn't pursue that. Jose Budo might be going against the Dodgers, no thanks. Kyle Freeland, Jared Schuster, Jackson Rutledge, Ben Lively, no, all of this. Tyler Alexander, maybe against the Angels, is not the worst thing in the world. The only reason that he's not starting this week is because, for personal reasons, apparently he's going to be back next week in that rotation-ish. Maybe he's followed, piggyback kind of thing. There's something very sneaky about that against the Angels, but no. Billy Falter, it's possible he goes heavy four-seamers upstairs against the Mets and it works, but I'm not going to go for that. And Cooper Criswell is not the worst thing ever as he gets the Guardians. He's a 0% rostered right now because he's going to be coming up to replace Pivetta, and we're going to see him over the weekend. Maybe not the worst thing ever there, so don't completely outside if you're looking for a one start this week, but Cleveland's been looking good. And there's also Yariel Rodriguez in the context of Bowden Francis. He just got the call up. I have no idea if Yariel is going tomorrow. My understanding is that's Bowden Francis against Rocky Road. I hope they give him the opportunity against Rocky Road. It could be someone else who's hurt that they just said, you know what, let's go Yariel Rodriguez in time and then push back Bowden Francis. Maybe someone else is hurt. I don't know. Something's weird going on. Follow that one, but I don't think you should be pursuing Yariel Rodriguez at all. And looking at your 15 teamers of rostership, it is kind of wild to see that Bowden Francis is 48% rostered as opposed to just not touched at all in your 12 teamers. So looking at this one, under 50% roster, we have only 38 guys to actually really be considering here who would be who could be featured. So we have Bowden Francis. You don't need to pursue that, as I mentioned. I would say as far as the two steps go here that I would be considering is Jose Soriano again. 0% rostered. No one had him stashed or anything like that. He's going to cost some penny here, and that's not so bad. I don't think you need to break the bank for this at all. This could be something that just like fizzles out completely, but he is not rostered. 0% rostership in the main event right now. He's going to get some focus, I think. And I like that more than Cal Quantrill, than Spencer Arrighetti, than Adrian Hauser, than Ross Stripling, than Patrick Corbin, than Cole Irvin, and Kyle Hendricks. Martin Perez is at 40% rostered. That's the Mets and the Red Sox. I think you have a better win chance there. So there's also Joe Ross, as I mentioned, is a very deep 1-2. I don't know if you need to do that. Like, I'm looking at the other maybe one start guys for your 15 teamers. There aren't many, honestly. There's very few to go for. And I think a lot of people are just going to try this Jose Soriano thing. And that makes sense to me. I think the Rays one can be good. But there really is not a whole lot this week for your 15 teamers. I'm trying to just scour right now to see what we get. But yeah, no. maybe Tyler Alexander is a deep one to consider. Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't be touching maybe Cooper Criswell. Take a note of that one start if you're looking for one of there. But I would say Jose Soriano, Martin Perez, and Joe Ross are the two-step guys that I would consider. You could maybe consider Cole Irvin as an outside win chance as he's 25% rostered against the Twins and the Royals. But I would not touch like Stripling and Hauser and Quantrill and Arrighetti and all of that. But yeah, I think that's how we're going to be doing this moving forward. Is I'm going to go over all the 12 team ones, and then we're going to jump over to the 15 where to see if there's anything that is necessary you got to go after. And I think Soriano is my fun one of the week, while everyone else is just kind of like, yeah, there really isn't a major spend at the moment for your 12 team for your 15 teamers. That is going to do it for this episode of the SP Fab Forecast. And I want to remind everybody, PL Pro Lifetime is closing today. Today's Friday, April 12th. By tomorrow, the 13th, we are not going to be offering PL Pro Lifetime anymore. It's going to be closed indefinitely. I don't know when we're going to do it. It's going to be a little bit. So if you want to support us and become a Lifetime PL Pro member, go check that out right now, pitchwest.com/lifetime, and then you'll be able to get this podcast every single week. This is the last one that is free for this year. So if you're listening to this and you do not have PL Pro, you will not have this podcast next week. You should also check out the sit and start grid that I have in the description below, as well as the two start pitchers. But thank you so much for listening to this free episode of the SB Fab Forecast. Good luck on Sunday. I'll have all my updates for this on the wire tomorrow night with Adam Howe and Kevin Hasting. And that is all. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your bat be low and your strikeouts high.